Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The time. Most of these guys really just want to win now. And I think that's what Kevin Durant's doing. So I don't even know if I have a takeaway from Durant Does New York other than that this is a one-sided issue at this point. New York is excited about it, and Kevin Durant could not care less.
I think my biggest takeaway, non-Durant, is the Warriors have separated themselves from the rest of the Western Conference.
Yeah, that's true.
And this is based on how the Warriors have played the early going of the year, based on how Curry has started the year, based on how Durant has started the year, the fact that Klay Thompson eventually is going to snap out of his funk. Yep. And it's also based on just kind of looking around the league at some of the other alleged contending teams and how they're just not off to good starts. And look, you never want to be so much a prisoner of the moment that you're going, I mean, there haven't even been 2 weeks of the season yet.
No, and 0-4,
for crying out loud.
You know, 0-4, 0-5, whatever it is, that's not going to kill a really good team.
It's not going to kill a really good team, but I also think it's going to be hard. Like, the Houston Rockets are 1-4, for example.
Right.
They're 1-4 right now. This team's not winning 65 games.
No.
They're not.
But did you think they would coming in?
No, okay. I didn't. But I thought they would. And I know James Harden's been out, and he's got an injury, and they got ran out last night at home by the Clippers.
Yep.
But I think, you know, Oklahoma City, you know, they don't have Westbrook for the first couple of games, and that's a problem.
It's and they don't have Robertson for longer,
exactly.
Which seems to be a big problem.
I thought Oklahoma City was a team that if they had it all buttoned up and Westbrook comes in and they rid themselves of Carmelo Anthony, who ironically is now
killing
Houston's
the Rockets.
Problem,
yeah.
You know, all of a sudden that's Houston's problem, right? And you know, I thought Oklahoma City could be a four seed again, and maybe they can wind up being a four seed again. And the reason they could maybe wind up being a four seed again is because a four seed might be a 45-win team in the Western Conference, and an 11 seed might be a 41-win team in the Western Conference, the way it's all playing out. But point being, and I think the Warriors set this tone for their season by embracing having fun, embracing joy, and just really countering the way they talked about last year. They talked about last year like it was going to be an absolute slog, grind, horrific experience. So they dreaded last season in terms of the regular season from day one. They're not doing it this year. And I think the rest of the league now is dealing with the realization that the Warriors are more engaged. The Warriors won it last year. So all these other teams have to get better to rise to their level. And when you get better, you tend to feel the need to change what you're doing. And sometimes change, even if it winds up being for the better in the long haul, it prevents you from being what you need to be early on, which in essence hurts your seeding to a point where you're going to be at a significant disadvantage if you face the Warriors even more so than you would be. Like, let's say if you're the Rockets were in position to win that series last year because they were the one seed and had home court advantage. Did it ultimately matter? No. But if the Warriors have home court advantage in that series, it doesn't go seven games.
No, I agree. And I mean, I think you could say that the Rockets' home court advantage might have mattered had things gone slightly differently, right? We weren't that far away from the Rockets' home court advantage mattering a whole heck of a lot. I mean, it was what, 10 points? They were up 10 points at halftime or something in game seven. So, and I know the Warriors came back, and I always expected that they would, but it was still awfully close. And so, yeah, look, that change has hurt the Rockets, obviously. But I think, again, we anticipated that coming in. I think if there's a shock to me, because I don't expect the Rockets to finish as the second worst team in the Western Conference. It's just a slow start in my mind. The shock to me of anything in the West is just how good New Orleans looks, because they did have some pretty significant change. And so far, so great. Now, obviously, the biggest thing is Anthony Davis. But Julius Randle looks like a nice fit there. Payton has been pretty much what Rondo was last year. So I think the Pelicans may be the most surprising positive so far in the NBA. And that's still not a team that can compete with the Warriors. We know that.
And the standings are upside down, essentially, right now. You've got Houston and Oklahoma City at the bottom. Rockets 1-4. Oklahoma City 0-4. Phoenix is down there. Dallas is down there. I think you'd anticipate that. You've got a couple of teams. Sacramento's got 3 wins. They've taken advantage of Oklahoma City being in disarray early in Westbrook's first game.
You're a guy who's watched a lot of Kings basketball. Yeah. This is as fun and exciting a Kings team as we have seen in a long time.
I think it is for now.
I'm not saying they're going to win 40 games. I'm just saying
they probably aren't going to win 30 games.
Maybe not. But the Kings fans have players to watch and be excited about the future of. That's cool.
No, they do. No, they do. And the one thing I'll say about them is, and this is to your point, because I think what you said is the reason that this is true. There, you can't just walk in and play them and just sleepwalk through a game, because the Wizards tried to do that last night and got beat.
Thunder tried to do that.
The Thunder tried to do that at home in Westbrook's return, where Westbrook played well in terms of scoring the ball, and that didn't work out for them either in that game. So I think top to bottom, the Western Conference night in, night out, is probably deeper than it was a year ago.
Well, there's no team like that, like you just said. Sacramento's no longer that team. We saw the Suns. They're not that team. You can't just... I mean, yeah, the Warriors beat them by a lot. The Warriors are a lot better than them, but they're not just that team where you walk in and you're like, oh, man, it's Earl Watson coaching a bunch of guys I never heard of. This should be a cakewalk in your sleep. They got some talent, and Devin Booker will get you if you're not careful, you know?
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. I know we're not even 2 weeks in, but the way this season has started for the Warriors, there is a lot of good things going on, not only with Golden State and how they're operating in the early going, but the rest of the league, and in particular the rest of the Western Conference as they are operating. You mentioned the Pelicans at 4-0, but the question I want to throw out there is, who's the biggest threat? Because, you know, we come in after the game last week in Salt Lake City, and we had a text that says Utah's the Warriors' biggest threat, and we appreciate that on the Chilton Autobody text line at 95795. Denver has played well, beat the Warriors, lost to the Lakers a couple of nights ago. But I keep looking at this thing, and I go, you know, if Denver and the Jazz are the biggest threats, no disrespect to them.
It's no threat.
I don't know that the Warriors are playing a game 6 in the Western Conference.
Yeah, maybe a game 6. That's about as far as it goes for me. Maybe.
Because, and here's my take on Utah, and it's no disrespect to Utah. It really isn't. I think they're terrific, and somebody's going to be the 2 seed. Somebody's going to be the 2 seed. I don't see the Warriors being anything less than a 1 seed this year unless they deal with a significant amount of injuries to the extent that they dealt with last year. But I think we've already seen through 6 games that they care more about winning games that maybe they're not playing as well in than they did a year ago. That said, I look at the Western Conference, and if Utah is the toughest opponent for the Warriors, they now want to play fast. They now want to shoot threes. They now want to run and gun with the Golden State Warriors, just as most teams in the league want to do now. And if you're going to do that, I think over the long haul of a series, you're going to wind up having at least one game that plays out exactly like the game played out in Salt Lake City a week ago. And if that happens, that's your series flipper to where it becomes a short series. Versus even a 6 or a 7. So I think Utah, while they may have their best year they've had in a long time, as far as legitimate contender threat to the Warriors, I just look at the Western Conference, and if it's not Houston, and it's not Oklahoma City, and we've seen how it looks when they play the Pelicans, who are pretty good,
mm-hmm.
But it's all these offensive-minded basketball teams now that are trying to beat the Warriors at their own game, and I just don't see how that's I just don't see how that can work.
No, it's not a winning strategy. And this is a little weird to say, but when the Warriors are as deep and as good as they are, I think a lot of times, if we're talking about a seven-game series, just comparing rosters, it ends up coming down to like, okay, well, who's the fourth best guy on that other team? Because in Denver, it's, I don't know, Crowder, Favors, Exum, Rubio, one of those guys.
Yeah.
But it's,
or Utah.
Oh, what I say, Denver?
You said Denver.
But on almost on every team besides the Warriors, the fourth guy is just a guy. And on the Warriors, it's Draymond, and then the fifth guy is Cousins, and then the sixth guy is Andre Iguodala, and it just keeps going and going and going. And the Celtics are the only other team, in my mind, that really has that thing, where you get to the fourth and fifth best player on the team, and it's still a guy where you're like, oh, man, that's going to be tough to deal with. No one else has the depth right now to compete, in my mind, with the Warriors. If everyone's healthy and playing reasonably well, there's just not another challenger. Although I will say, I think part of the reason the Raptors have looked so good in the early going is because they have a little more traditional team framework where, all right, we got a really good point guard, the one superstar in Kawhi, and we're just sort of playing the old school team building you're used to. One big star and we're built around him.
They've shuffled it, I think, in a positive way.
Yeah.
And that's going to be interesting as they get into the playoffs because it's no LeBron to deal with for them anymore. And LeBron's been their biggest kryptonite to this point. 888-957-9570. More of your phone calls, texts as well. Early going, setting up really well for the Warriors. We'll discuss Warriors this week on 95.7 The Game.
In the front court, Durant goes to work. Had 30 against Washington, but you wouldn't have known it because of Steph. Off the screen, Durant for three. He's got it left side. Draymond Green with that high screen toward midcourt. Warriors lead by four.
Now back to Warriors this week on 95.7 The Game.
Warriors go on to win by 28. It's John Dickinson. It's Matt Kolsky in for Matt Steinmetz here. Warriors this week with you until 1 o'clock. Tim Roy on the call there. You'll hear Tim Roy on this very program coming up in the 12 o'clock hour as we'll talk live from New York with Tim Roy, the voice of the Golden State Warriors, on hand for the festivities last night, not on hand for all the festivities surrounding this Golden State Warriors team. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Ian Begley covers the Knicks for ESPN. He will join us coming up here in about 10 minutes as well. And let's get to Scott in Berkeley on 95.7 The Game as we discuss an early going of the NBA season, Scott, that looks like it's shaken out pretty well for the Golden State Warriors.
Morning, John. Morning, Matt. How you doing?
Good.
The thing I guess I get to about the early part of the season, I never felt Houston was going to be a threat. I thought Houston, in my mind, I always mapped them to Sacramento in 2002 when they finally got home court advantage in the Western Conference Finals against the Lakers, and they couldn't finish the deal. I've been more wary of going back to last year, New Orleans and Utah. I had felt that the Pelicans, with the Mirotić deal, really kind of changed things dynamically. Because Nico is a guy who just fires the ball the minute it hits his hands. Boogie, for all of his talent, he's a little bit of ball stuff. And Payton, just by the fact that he doesn't bring Rondo's drama, is a better player. And I think we found that out last week with what happened in Los Angeles. Utah, to me, is like, I keep looking at Utah, and I keep seeing an updated version of Stockton Malone. If you're going to Utah, even with the emphasis on freedom of movement, the Jazz are not going to let you move away from the ball. That's what they've always done. Gobert, to me, is basically a much more mobile and a little bit more offensive version of Mark Eaton or Greg Ostertag. It is hard to ignore how Jay Crowder and Ingles fit together. because I mean they're both going to be rough on defense, and they both can fire from deep. And Mitchell is just a stud.
So you taking Utah or the Pelicans?
I think Utah.
Okay. And again, and we appreciate the call, Scott. And Scott in Berkeley checking in. We appreciate it. 888-957-9570.
But didn't he just say what we've all said, really, which is there is no one?
That's it.
Yeah.
That's exactly where I was going. You read my mind.
Yeah.
You read my mind. And it's no disrespect.
No, because everything he said is true. Those are good teams. And Anthony Davis right now has been the best player in the league through 5-6 games, whatever it is.
And I think that might be the biggest thing about the Pelicans,
yep,
is that Anthony Davis still has a level that he may be ascending to this year that he hasn't been at previously. And that could be something, let's say, similar to Stephen Curry when he blew up on another level in 2014-15. I'm not saying it's that level, and it's clearly different for a big man than it is for a guard. So it's not a direct comparison, but I do think he is a player that is heading toward his prime, and as great as he's been, could just become an absolute monster this season, and that could put the Pelicans on a level that they haven't been at before.
No doubt, and I really like the fit with Julius Randle. You know a lot of NBA, so I may not get you with this, but just for the sake of debate, Anthony Davis's birthday is March 11th. How old do you think he's going to turn in 2019?
Isn't it 26?
He's still 25.
Yeah.
Seems like he's been around for a decade, but he's only 25. And I'm not sure we could have believed or processed how good Steph Curry or Kevin Durant was going to be when we first saw them. I'm not sure we fully realized just how incredible this guy can be. I'm not sure there's ever been a player who can do the amount of different things at as high a level as Anthony Davis. Just in terms, he can dribble, he can shoot, he can pass, he plays defense, he's smart. He does every single thing at a high level, and he's 7 feet tall with a 7'6" wingspan.
He's absolutely amazing. The Pelicans are scoring damn near 130 a night at this point. They're 4-0. Look, we're not even 2 weeks into the season. But the one thing I'll say about the Pelicans, and I think this is true of a lot of the teams, you know, the Lakers, the Rockets, the Thunder, and I'm actually higher on the Lakers than I think a lot of people are. I think they have the potential to be a top four seed.
I agree.
In the Western Conference. And I actually said I think they're more likely to be a top four seed than they are to be a 7 or 8 seed.
I think they're right in that 3-4-5 range.
When I look at the Lakers and the Rockets and the Thunder in particular, and I think even the Pelicans fall into this category, but to a lesser extent, the Pelicans are in a unique position right now because they are exploding. Like, this is the year where they could actually become a legitimate contender. Not that they're going to win the championship this year, but maybe put themselves in position where they could contend for a championship in the years to come.
Mm-hmm.
They also are dealing now, though, with the specter of could Anthony Davis leave? So there's an added elephant in the room, if you will, that's coming up on the Pelicans. And it just gets me back to another way where the Warriors kind of have this thing licked. And that's the fact that, yes, there's questions surrounding Kevin Durant. Yes, there's questions surrounding Klay Thompson, although everybody believes Klay Thompson's going to come back. Kevin Durant, we're both on record. We don't know. We don't think Kevin Durant knows at this point. But it just feels like there's less drama or doubt around the Warriors than there is around Oklahoma City, yep, with Westbrook just, you know, off to a bad, you know, they're
being
off to
Westbrook,
a bad start. You know, and who's the problem there? And I know he was injured. The Rockets. Harden's out, and you know now Carmelo Anthony's there, and they look starting. They look like a team that, yeah, right. They didn't play well to begin the year, and now their solution to that was, yeah, let's throw Carmelo Anthony into the starting lineup.
Last night, 28 points, minus 17.
And I'll tell you another thing. I'll tell you another thing about the Rockets. The Rockets are also in a position now. You know, Minnesota's another team. You know, they're a team that could have been on the move, But the Jimmy Butler thing happens, and now they got all kinds of drama. And that thing's going to get busted up before it ever has a legitimate chance to become anything.
Looks like it.
The Rockets are almost in desperation mode now, to the point where they're considering reportedly offering 4 first-round picks to try and get Jimmy Butler. And oh, by the way, I'm not even sure it's that crazy to try and do it, because Daryl Morey probably already knows they've got no shot.
I totally agree with that. It's on its face, 4 first-round draft picks for Jimmy Butler is an insane proposition.
And it is.
But in reality, the Rockets have told us over and over again, we're just trying to catch and beat the Warriors. That's the goal. The goal is get the Warriors. We can do this. We're trying to put together the best team we can today. And like you said, they have no shot with the roster they have right now. If they add Jimmy Butler for essentially nothing that would help them today, because I presume if you're giving up 4 first-round draft picks, you're not also giving up Eric Gordon, right?
Although they're going to have to get creative.
Yeah, but they have Brandon Knight. They got some guys on the back end of the roster who make some money that they can use.
That would be my goal, would be to do everything you possibly can do to get Jimmy Butler, but not lose P.J. Tucker or Eric Gordon.
Because if that's your top six, if your top six is Paul, Harden, Butler, Capella, Tucker, and Gordon, that is good.
Yeah.
Is it beating the Warriors? I don't think so.
No, but it gives you at least a fighting chance.
Definitely.
If you wind up building some momentum toward the playoffs.
And it gives you the at least the potential level of defense that you had last year. Because Butler, I mean, you talk about losing Ariza and Mbamute. Getting Butler is like improving on those guys instead of losing them.
You know what they need to do also in the process is lose Carmelo Anthony somehow.
Yeah.
Because it's just a problem, because as long as he's on your roster, you're going to feel obligated to play him. This is what happened with Oklahoma City last year. Oklahoma City and Robertson being out was a problem too, a big problem for their defense. Their defense changed from the moment he went out, went from really good to pretty terrible.
Yep.
Basically just in the blink with him being out. But the elephant in the room there was Carmelo Anthony. They were better when he wasn't playing, yet they couldn't keep him off the floor enough to succeed.
That's why I was surprised that, because Daryl Morey usually is on top of that sort of thing.
No, I think it was more of a Chris Paul thing.
I agree. And that's, find me the scenario where a star player made the call on who to sign and it worked out. Ask the Warriors how the Nick Young thing turned out.
Yeah.
I don't care how happy you want to make them.
Well, I think
don't let your players make your roster decisions.
And I think it's the exact reason what you said about Nick Young is the exact reason the Warriors didn't sign Jamal Crawford.
I think so too.
Two different personalities.
Yeah. I think they did it wrong, unfortunately. Because if they had signed Jamal Crawford last year, which I believe they could have, I don't think they ever would have had those problems.
Yes, although he did get more money than the Warriors could have offered.
But I think he would have taken less. You couldn't have two more. For as similar as their games are, you could not have two more different guys than Crawford and Nick Young.
And I'm not comparing them as guys, but I think it's that same element of Crawford's pretty bad on defense now. Yep.
Well, and it's just Myers. I think you're right. It was like Myers was like, yeah, I listened to you guys last year.
We're not doing that again.
We're not doing it again.
And you almost have to do it once.
Yeah.
Just to be able to prove your point the next year to why you're not doing it.
That's exactly. So you can say, no, this year, guys, it's Jonas Jerebko.
Exactly.
And that's working out great.
And if that doesn't work out, then
it's on
we'll have another discussion about it and maybe share a laugh about it in the offseason.
Totally.
After the parade.
After we win another title.
Exactly. All right, it's John Dickinson, Matt Kolsky here on 95.7 The Game. It's Warriors this week. And let's go out now to Ian Begley, who joins us, covers the Knicks for ESPN. And Ian, thanks a lot for coming on the program. We really appreciate it. Take us inside Madison Square Garden last night. What were the Knicks hoping to accomplish, if anything, as it pertains to Kevin Durant? And just give us a feel for how the whole night played out as he went off in the fourth quarter.
Well, I think first question, I don't think the Knicks could have really gotten anything done in regards to luring Kevin Durant to New York last night. That's not the night to do it. It's not the setting. to do any recruiting. What they were trying to do is keep pace with the Warriors, which they were able to do for probably 38 minutes, and then Kevin Durant goes crazy. But in the building, you know, I think there were a decent amount of Warriors fans there, but the reaction from the Garden crowd during intros for Kevin Durant, you know, he got some loud cheers. I think there was some courting going on from the fans there. And it was interesting because the Knicks, young, scrappy Knicks team, coached by David Fizdale, they hung with these guys for, you know, 3 quarters and 2 minutes. And then Kevin Durant goes crazy. 25 in the fourth quarter. The Warriors win that quarter by historic proportions, and they walk out of the building happy. But it was just, it was an interesting night because you hear so often Knicks fans boo the opponents, but you heard loud cheers for Kevin Durant throughout. And I think it was clear that these fans are trying to court your guy from the Bay Area and bring him to the Big Apple.
I want to dig in a little on something you just said there, Ian, which is, you know, a scrappy young Knicks team under David Fizdale. And I think obviously Fizdale would like to have a better team, but scrappy also sort of fits him. And just as guys who haven't seen much of the 1-5 New York Knicks to this point, are they generally hanging in there? And it just comes down to at the end of most games, they don't have the talent, or was that an uncharacteristic competitive performance?
You know, I think 4 out of their 5 games, they've been competitive. They won the first game against Atlanta. And then you look at those 5 out of 6, they've been competitive. The 4 losses, they were in the game with the exception of that fourth quarter against the Warriors. There was one game against Miami preceding this Warriors game where they got the doors blown off of them in the third quarter, and it was ugly. And Fizdale said after the game that was the first time he thought that their young guys kind of let go of the rope at the wrong time. But by and large, they've been competing under Fizdale, and what this year is about really for the Knicks is finding, you know, 3-4 guys that they can bring with them going forward to add to this young core that they're trying to put around Kristaps Porzingis, and they're trying to attract free agents with. So I think it's really not about the wins and losses. It's about guys playing hard and defending well with energy and again, finding 2, 3, 4 guys from this team that you can move forward with.
Ian Begley, our guest, covers the Knicks for ESPN. Ian, give us a feel for what the Knicks' pitch would be to a guy like Kevin Durant, because we were throwing it around earlier on the show, and the allure of New York is awesome, and playing in the Garden and everything that goes with that is awesome, the vibe. But you look at this talent, and it's like there's no way it could be a smart basketball decision for Kevin Durant to join the Knicks, could it?
Well, I think that you're right there. There's no one in their right mind who pays attention to the NBA who could tell you with a straight face that him staying in Golden State or leaving Golden State and coming to the Knicks is a basketball decision. I think it would be more about what they would say to him is, hey, we know, you know, players do want to be in this market, and they've like shied away from the market because of all the drama surrounding the Knicks. But I think the Knicks pitch would be in part that, hey, we're a stable organization now. We're moving forward in the right direction. We're building a foundation here, a winning foundation, and in a year or two, we'll be ready to compete in the East, and we'll be ready to, with your help, make trips to the NBA Finals and beyond. And I think part of the pitch, if I'm the Knicks, and if I think Kevin Durant is interested in changing the narrative around his career, and by and large, right now it is, he's kind of jumped on the bandwagon in Golden State, and he's done really well with the Warriors, but he was joining a pre-made team. I think to change that narrative and that legacy, you come to New York and you win and you turn the page on that, because if you win in New York, that's a forever thing. You know, they're going to build a statue of you in front of the Garden. So I think if the Knicks get the sense that that's something Durant is interested in, they could appeal to him from that perspective.
Obviously, Kristaps Porzingis dealing with the injury, there's been some discussion that he may not play at all this season. I guess sort of two parts. One, what do you know about his status? And two, how much do you think that affects what the Knicks are able to do this coming offseason? Just how aware are people of how healthy is Kristaps Porzingis, and how much will they want to see him on the court before deciding whether to play with him for 4 or 5 years?
On that first part, I mean, I think he will be healthy enough to play games. You know, I don't know exactly when, but at some point in the middle of this season. I think the rehab, by all accounts, is going well. There's been no setbacks. I think, you know, he's done well in the rehab, and I would assume that he'd be physically ready to go. The question that I think the Knicks will be asking themselves, and maybe on Porzingis' side, they'll ask themselves, does it make sense for him to get back on the court? You know, from a Knicks perspective, I think the idea would be this season to put themselves in best position possible to land a top lottery pick. If you keep Porzingis out, I think the rationale is you lose more games. And from Porzingis' perspective, it's interesting. I don't know what his thinking is, but, you know, in my mind, the Knicks opted against extending his rookie contract before the deadline prior to this season. And so he'd be playing, kind of risking everything if he steps foot on the court. Because let's say he gets hurt again, you know, worst case scenario, then he's losing out on that significant contract that he's lined up to get this summer. So it's an interesting dynamic. To me, I wouldn't be surprised at all if he sat out the season, if both sides thought that that was best. But I do think, I would assume that he'd be physically healthy enough to get back on the court. From a free agent perspective, it was interesting because the guys on TNT, Charles Barkley and Shaq, were talking about this, and they said, if they were free agents, they wouldn't need to see Porzingis back on the court because they know who he is, and they would assume that he could come back healthy from this injury because guys have done it. So I don't know. I think it's up to the individual player, but I would assume that players would base their decision, if they were factoring Kristaps Porzingis in, on his previous track record and not if he were able to come back and play, let's say, you know, 15 games or so at 20 minutes a night.
Ian, great stuff. We really appreciate the time. Thanks a lot for coming on. We'll talk to you again down the line.
My pleasure, fellas. Take care.
All right, Ian Begley covers the Knicks for ESPN. Good perspective on everything that was going on last night at Madison Square Garden pertaining to Kevin Durant. And then the Knicks, you know, recruitment, maybe not organizationally, but certainly from the fans and the city and the vibe and the aura of,
yeah, there
NY.
Was a billboard, for God's sakes. Like, Ian's right. It's not the team is not going to Kevin Durant,
yeah,
last
you're not
night.
Secret meetings.
No. But certainly the city has begun its recruitment. There's no question about that.
Yeah, and I keep coming back to there just isn't enough there.
No, look at this roster. I'm looking at the box score,
and that's even if you love everything else about the city and the garden.
Yes. This is still a team you're not even close to winning with. Not even in the East.
I mean, I hear Ian say, well, yeah, that you win in New York and it's forever and they're going to build a statue in front of the garden. Well, you're not going to win. So
right.
That's that. Like,
right. How much do you know? What level of winning do you have to reach for that statue?
I mean, the Knicks haven't won since the 70s.
If it's a title, forget the statue. I mean, if it's reaching the finals, then maybe you got a chance, I guess. But I don't like their odds of building a team that can compete with Boston, Philly, and Toronto for the next few years. I don't at all.
I think the other thing that's in play... And
it's James Dolan. Is that what you were going to say?
No.
Okay.
But that's... No, but I've cut you off enough today.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
He stinks.
Have at it.
He plays in a blues band more than he pays attention to the Knicks. Like, what are we talking about here? You go from... I mean, look, you may not love Oklahoma City. You may have problems with the way their organization was run, but at least that's an owner who cares about being competitive and is locked in on the team and is paying attention. You come to the Warriors and you've got probably the best owner, top three certainly in the league, who's doing everything to make it the most comfortable, positive environment for players and willing to spend all this money over the luxury tax. And you're going to go play for James Dolan, who throws his most cherished former players out of the garden when he's unhappy and you know, organizes a tour for his blues band before he worries about the Knicks? No. Why would you do that?
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Are the Knicks really a threat to land Kevin Durant? Is it Warriors versus Knicks, or is it Warriors versus some other team?
You mentioned the Clippers earlier, and I like that a lot.
Lakers, Clippers, mystery team. Is there a mystery team out there, Kolsky, that you think maybe could get into the mix?
I don't think so, just because, again, I think it comes down to basketball, and there's no team that can surprise us by becoming a title competitor.
The mystery team that I'd always like to just perpetually throw in there is Houston.
Yeah.
But Houston's just not going to have any capital.
Yeah, they won't be able to do it. Certainly, Daryl Morey is the guy that you should always say there's a chance, because he'll do whatever he can if he believes there's a chance. But it's just too hard, I think.
It's like Houston, like for basketball reasons, LeBron James going to Houston would have been the best. And I know they would have done a million different things, but LeBron James going to Houston,
the best challenge,
would have been the best basketball move for LeBron James.
I think that's true. Certainly the best chance at creating a team that could immediately challenge the Warriors. But I still think they're going to be able to put together something pretty good in L.A. And there is the part of, if you go to Houston, they are cash-strapped. And it is hard to add the little pieces around the periphery. And in L.A., they're going to have a ton of money to work with. And, you know, all these goofy one-year free agent contracts that they signed, that's not going to matter. You know, Lance and JaVale and, sure, and Rondo,
well,
and all that
stuff. That's why they signed him.
Exactly.
They signed him because, I mean,
it's filler. It's roster filler.
Yes, you nailed it. It's roster filler, and it's guys that they know can go away, and it's guys that I think they, well, I think they kind of took inventory of, hey, LeBron, you want this guy? Would you be okay with that guy? You know, not that he's running the thing, but I think it was kind of a collaborative. We're going to get some guys that I just kind of like for a year. Until you can swap them out for the real big piece. And, you know, maybe a couple of them, you like them, you want to keep them on minimum deals moving forward with whoever else you get.
You may like JaVale, and maybe he's around L.A. for the next 3 years, but it's not going to be as the number one big.
But it gives you the ultimate in flexibility.
Exactly.
As far as what you can do next year. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Just watching the Knicks last night, I just don't think, as much as the allure of New York is great, that it's really a race between the Warriors and them for Kevin Durant in 2019.
They were sitting back and marveling at the door, and they were trying to play and stop us.
How about the crowd?
Any team that comes in here and makes shots and has great views, I feel like they cheer for the game of basketball more so than that.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Kevin Durant, after his 41-point performance last night in New York at Madison Square Garden, Warriors improved to 5-1. They beat the Knicks 128-100. It is Warriors This Week with John Dickinson and Matt Kolsky with you for another 2 hours here on 95.7 The Game. As we are with you each and every week, Matt Steinmetz shall return next Saturday on this program. But it's been great to have Kolsky in here for the last couple of hours, and we certainly appreciate him taking the time out. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. We're talking a lot about Kevin Durant. Who else, as he plays in New York and the Knicks fans try and recruit him to the Big Apple? Let's keep it moving here on the phone lines. I just don't see it after watching that team. I just don't think there's enough basketball. There's not enough basketball capital built up. Let's get to Renegade in Antioch on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, JD, always a pleasure. Hey, listen, that New York franchise made a big mistake about 5 or 6 years ago when they went after LeBron, and they started clearing, well, the mistakes go back further than that with Isaiah. But anytime you start clearing cap space like that for guys that aren't going to come or might come, they destroyed the team for almost 10 years. Now, if they would have set that money aside, maybe there's a chance Durant goes there, because it's still the Mecca. It might not be the Mecca of basketball, but it's still New York City. Once New York starts winning, that you get all the attention in the world from all the national media hubs. But as of right now, there is nothing in their pedigree that would suggest that Kevin Durant going there would be beneficial to him or his brand. And until the Knicks improve their off-court product to include the office, then there's no way that any big-name free agent's going to go there, because right now it's just a graveyard. It's no longer a Mecca, unless it's a Mecca of Holy Cross Cemetery. And Renegade, appreciate your time.
Thanks, Renegade.
Well, well put at the end. This is the bottom line to me. There are guys who think about everything, the city, the brand, the players on the team, all that stuff. Kevin Durant seems to think the most by far about basketball. and it's a poorly run basketball organization. I just don't know how much further it has to go than that. And obviously, we'll see. Like we've both said today, neither of us think he's even made up his mind yet. But ultimately, when he's going to make up his mind, I think he's going to look at the franchise. And he knows how poorly run this franchise has been.
From the 925 on the Chilton Auto Body text line, and you pointed this text out before the break, one possible scenario that could lead Kevin Durant there, and this is one that's come up at different points, Durant's agent, Rich Kleiman, and business partner, loves the Knicks, wants the front office job there, and KD's very close with Kleiman. Also, you know, one of KD's best friends is an assistant coach with the Knicks as well, and I'm not sure off the top who he's referring to. I'll have to look at that. But Rich Kleiman, the bigger point there.
Yes. Rich Kleiman, who, if you've listened to KD's many appearances on the Bill Simmons podcast, you're at least partially aware of, is Kevin Durant's business partner, sort of non-basketball manager for the most part, but is a big Knicks fan, a New York guy, and has hinted at having his eye on the possibility of a Knicks job. That being said, he doesn't necessarily have credentials for that job. And more to the point, if we're talking about this offseason, you're again asking James Dolan to get this thing figured out and linked up and hooked up behind the scenes to the point where he's hiring KD's buddy as the team president within the next few months. I just don't think it's going to happen.
And Royal Ivy is the guy, is the coach, I believe he's referring to.
Royal Ivy, yeah, a former Texas basketball player alongside Kevin Durant. The sort of poor man's, now I'm forgetting the guy, he's the poor man's version of. Who is the TJ, who's the little point guard who broke his back?
TJ Ford?
Yes. Poor man's TJ Ford. That's who Royal Ivy is.
Yeah, so he's on the Knicks coaching staff now and tight with Kevin Durant. So it's Rich Kleiman and Royal Ivy.
I don't think Royal Ivy is even a drop in the bucket for Kevin Durant's free agent decision. Rich Kleiman could be. I just don't think the Knicks can pull it off.
I just think they're not close enough.
No.
I mean, if the Knicks had, and you know, I'll use the LeBron Lakers comparison. If the Knicks had what the Lakers have in terms of young talent. If they had a Kuzma and an Ingram.
And Alonzo. And a Josh Hart.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But they just have Porzingis, and he's not even playing.
They just have Porzingis. And look, I don't buy the TNT guys' take about, well, you know what Porzingis is. I don't think we do know what Porzingis is. I think we know he's a good player, but I don't think we know for a fact that he's going to return from injury and continue to jump another level or two to stardom.
No,
he's got to show it.
Right. I'm with those guys in terms of, well, we know it's possible to come back from this knee injury.
Sure.
You're certainly not writing him off or anything like that, but I would want to see him healthy. I think the thing maybe that we're not giving enough credit to is these guys, the communication that goes on behind the scenes. Kevin Durant can probably get a pretty good idea of Kristaps Porzingis' health from his various connections around the league without Porzingis playing in an NBA game. But whoever I was, I would want to know a lot about the health status of Porzingis if I was a star thinking about signing in New York.
888-957-9570. That's where John in Walnut Creek checks in. John, you are on 95.7 The Game. It's Warriors This Week with J.D. and Kolsky. Hey, John.
Hey, guys, thanks for the call, or thanks for taking my call. I think a team that is really flying under the radar that everybody's forgetting is a hometown team of the Wizards. I think they got enough of the pieces with Oubre, Wall, and Gortat. I think that, and then, of course, the biggest issue is his mom. Everybody forgets how much he loves his mom, all the credit that he gave him when he won his MVP and his speech that he gave. So I think he's all talking about money and he wants to get the big check, but I think there's also an underlying, there's always that underlying feeling of coming home to your hometown and winning the championship, or at least building a team that could win a championship. And it looks on paper that if all those pieces stick together and John Wall is able to share the spotlight, which would probably be the biggest issue, I don't think that you can honestly count out the Wizards, because in all honesty, I think he wants to get out of the Western Conference as well because of how stacked it is. He wants to be able to go out and get constant conference champions, conference titles, and I think he could easily do that with the Wizards with where they're at right now. I just think money may be the problem with that, a little bit of a smaller market out there.
Thanks, John.
My calls, guys.
Appreciate it. John of Walnut Creek checking in. Couple of things. Gortat's now with the Clippers. He was traded.
It's Dwight Howard.
Dwight Howard is, yeah, the big man, the new big man in town.
Have fun with that.
The Wizards low-key are a dumpster fire. They have dumpster fire potential.
Yeah, someone texted about that earlier and said, yeah, and Scott Brooks is there too. Well, let's see if he's still there at the end of the year, okay?
They have some big-time dumpster fire potential because
yes,
they have played in the early going a lot like they played against the Warriors. And that is not a pretty look. I know we mentioned it earlier here on the show. The Warriors make a lot of teams look bad, and they made the Wizards look bad the other night. But the Wizards looked just as bad for stretches of a game last night in Sacramento that they ultimately lost in the final 6 minutes and melted down in that game in the final 6 minutes. So
that's a team that's not only a little short on talent in the current NBA, but also doesn't seem to like each other or play particularly well with each other.
Yeah, and they just like they've got guys that are making a ton of money. John Wall, $170 million.
Yeah,
coming
Beal's
to
up
John
there too.
Wall, Beal's up there. And they just don't, I don't feel like they're a player away anymore.
No.
I think 2 years ago, maybe.
At least maybe a player away from the conference finals,
yeah,
or the NBA finals,
but
maybe.
Mean,
but
I mean, I'll say 2 years ago, a player away of, like, we're talking about Kevin Durant.
Right,
like, if
sure.
Kevin Durant's going there.
If
they're not Trevor Ariza away,
no,
it wouldn't have been 2 years ago. But like
a star away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's true. If Durant had gone to the Wizards instead of the Warriors,
sure,
the Wizards would have absolutely been in the title discussion every season.
But it didn't happen,
no,
and they've kind of missed their window. And look, I'm sure Kevin Durant has a respect for John Wall and Bradley Beal. I mean, I don't know, but I would assume that he does.
Sure, but why would he trade the best backcourt in the league for like the third best backcourt in the league?
I think they missed their window. Like the Wizards missed their window, and now they don't like each other. They're not playing the right style of basketball. It's already slipping. Like, look, could they be a playoff team? Sure. I just think was it Wall or Beal? I can't remember which one was asked in the offseason about everything that happened in the East, and LeBron's gone, and Boston and Philly and Toronto. And I think it was John Wall that said, well, we think we should be in that conversation. Okay.
No, but you're not.
But you're not
right
at all in
no
that conversation.
No, and especially the way Toronto's playing, you're not even close to that top three. Not even close. And the Bucks too.
That's the fourth team.
I don't see any path to home court advantage in the first round for the Washington Wizards. Not any path. I think the Pacers are better than they are too.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. A lot of phone calls to get to as you're listening to 95.7 The Game. It's KGMZ FM at HD1 KGMZ San Francisco, the radio home of the Golden State Warriors. We are halfway through on a Saturday morning. It's John Dickinson, Matt Kolsky in for Matt Steinmetz here on Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game. Let's keep it moving on the phone lines as we do have Josh Eberle scheduled to join us coming up from Hoop Magazine at the bottom of the hour. But right now, it's your phone calls, and we keep it moving with Mike at Calistoga on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Mike.
Hi, guys. How you doing today?
Good.
Hey, I want to talk about Durant to the Knicks, and I grew up in the New York area, and I think Durant would be very open to going to the Knicks. I didn't think that a year ago, but he would love to play for Fizdale, as a lot of players in the league would. You didn't see Knox last night, who's going to be their small forward and is going to be a star in the league. If Frank can play point guard like he played last night, they're really not very far away if you put a guy like Rozier with KD with that team, because mostly they're starting second-teamers. So I think I definitely think that KD might be interested in that as a challenge, simply because it looks like he likes challenges to me. So I could definitely see the Knicks being one of the top picks for him.
Quickly, Mike.
So I don't know what you guys think about that.
Mike, when you say he clearly loves challenges, why? Why do you think that?
Well, I think that when he came to the Warriors, he had to change his game to a degree. He was pretty much the guy. I mean, yeah, Russell was there, but he was the guy that had the superstar talent. Russell's the best athlete in the league, but he's not a superstar talent, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
But I think KD is looking, if he's looking to go, that means he doesn't want to win two or three more championships in the Bay, because he could do that easily here.
Yeah, I actually,
mean,
I think
getting older, but they still have a few years.
I think that's Mike's best point, is the last point, because I mean, I'm with him. If you wanted a challenge, then yeah, New York is that challenge. And I guess if the argument is, well, if he decides to leave, it's because he wants a challenge, then yeah, that's true. I just, right. I'm not sure I believe he wants that particular challenge. I think he likes playing on the best team in the league.
Yeah, and I think he may be looking for a challenge, but I don't think it's the, I don't think it's
throwing New York on his back,
starting from scratch.
I will
with
say
25 win talent and making it 45 win talent.
Yeah, I still agree with you, but I had forgotten about Kevin Knox, and he does have some. That is an another exciting young player. At least
we got to see it, though.
Yes.
Right?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.